No!
No! No!
What?
Because I was married for 2 fucking years!
You're a cunt, Ryan.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Ryan.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Ryan.
No, sir, I don't like it.
Hey guys, it's episode 64 of No Sir, I Don't Like It. It's Carmen and Brian.
Hey,
we're here.
We're here in Altadena.
That's where I live.
Which stands for Air Dina.
No, Hi Dina.
Hi Dina.
Yeah.
Hi Dina.
Hi.
What's happening?
There is no chicks named Dina anymore.
Name one Dina. There's a Dinah Shore. Who's Dina? I've never met a Dina.
I just feel like there's chicks from the 80s named Dina. Like there was like a...
This dude's named Dino.
Dino. There had to have been a... If there's a Dino, there's Dina. You got to put it... There's...
Yeah,
you
yeah.
slap an A on the end of any word and you make it a broad.
Carmen. Carmon. Wait, what's the guy's Carmen?
Carmine. It's both. Carmine or yeah. Carmen is actually both.
Really? There's mm-hmm. dude Carmens?
A lot of dude Carmens. In Italian... Italian Carmen's a guy, and then in Spanish,
but in
it's
the
a girl.
Sopranos, the dude's name is Carmine.
Well, there's both.
Damn, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Carmen Sandiego was a girl, though, right?
Yeah. Well, she was Latin. She wasn't Italian.
Cameron. I've met dude Camerons.
Yeah. It's usually with the O or the E is the difference at the end or
right.
something like that.
Cameron, which is also Spanish for shrimp, right?
Camarón.
How would you say Cameron in Spanish?
Camarón. I don't know.
I don't think you have a lick of Spanish. I don't think you really speak it. I think when you're on the phone, you're because anytime I ask you, you go, I don't know. But then I hear you have full Spanish.
Because you always Spanish. Ask me about like some...
Shrimp!
I just said camarón. That's how you say shrimp in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And then you said how to say Cameron. And I don't know. I don't know. I've never... Because there's no motherfucking Camerons in Spanish.
How do you
Spanish.
Say Donald Trump is a Cheeto in Spanish? Go.
You're fucking up my switch back and forth. You're fucking up my switch back and forth because... That's Cheeto is a brand, so it would be called Cheeto in Spanish. Cheeto.
Yes, yeah, so I gave you the easiest sentence. All you have to say is a in Spanish.
El presidente Donald Trump es un Cheeto.
By the way, if you're listening at home and you go see live comedy and you've heard a comedian called Donald Trump a Cheeto and you've laughed, you should cut out your fucking vocal cords.
Well, if you heard it, I don't know, 10 years ago, sure. Then it was cutting edge, but
yeah.
Now it's, I'm tired of all the whimsical hair jokes and the Cheeto dust.
You know what's funny is that everybody decided they were tired of Donald Trump jokes before they were really being made. Like when Donald Trump got elected, one of the fastest.
You sure that's not just us?
But I don't hear any live. Like I don't hear many Trump jokes, and like everybody's like, "I'm so sick of all these Trump
jokes."
Well,
here's what the problem is: when he got elected, everybody was like, "Oh, I bet you guys are gonna get so much material," and that's you telling a comic what they're gonna do. Comics don't like being told what to do.
Yeah, but I
so I think there's an element of that, and there's an element of us being we're drowning in him.
But I don't even feel like I don't even really know what he's doing. It hasn't.
But that you're because you're choosing not to participate, but everybody else is on a regular basis. There, it's I mean,
how much has your life
is
changed?
Right in that the media is obsessed with him. Both sides.
I know. You know, it's
he's a
funny?
Spectacle. He's a fucking spectacle. That John Mulaney joke where there's a horse in the hospital. That's
yeah.
It makes perfect sense. If you guys haven't watched it, you totally should. The new John Mulaney special on Netflix is
great.
Yeah,
it's great. Kid Gorgeous live at Radio City Music Hall.
Oh, so great. Such a wonderful. I know we're not supposed to talk about things we like, but that was a really good special.
Dude, but you know what's funny? That we
that was a Trump joke that I could get behind.
Yeah, there's plenty of good ones. I don't really hear many, though, overall. But what I'm saying is how funny is it with these people like Andy Richter, Andy Kindler, and all the other liberal Andys?
All the Andys?
Like their whole identity, Michael Ian Black, their whole identity online right now is just trashing Trump. So it's like, wow, you're in your 50s and your whole identity is going to be over in 4 years or 4 to 6 years or whatever.
Or maybe
like,
you know,
what do
people
you,
vote in the mid.
What do they do? What are these all these people who can only tweet about Trump? What do they do the day after he's not president anymore? It's like they're going to come out of
a
psychotic.
Before that, I think they're just choosing.
They're
going to
have to learn how to be
this.
Funny again. You know what I mean? They're going to have to relearn how to be funny because it's like coming out. It's like they're going to like have to wake up from a nightmare and realize they only talk about one thing.
I think it's just
thing.
Like the shift that Dennis Miller made when he went from being like...
But he made a party shift. That's way different. These guys are obsessed with one guy. They're obsessed with one guy.
But I think because of that one guy, a lot of people are he's scared. It scared a lot of people into being thinking that they need to speak about politics on a more of a regular basis than they would have.
Right. But you're not answering my question. What do they do the day after he's not president?
I mean, they go back to writing about other things. They'll still write. I mean, I think there'll still be some gray area where they're going to talk about how bad it was and how happy they are that it's over. But I still think everything will go back. There'll be either a new Republican president and they'll complain about them, or there'll be a Democratic president and then they'll complain about something else.
It's just so insane that you're in your 40s and you like, you know, 50s, and you can only write about, you have nothing else to say. Really? You have nothing else to say. That's insane. It's so boring. It's so boring. You have nothing else to say. You got to tweet about, I mean, he's president. Who fucking cares?
Dude, everybody's got unbridled rage, you know, and they're just focusing theirs on this one particular person because that seems like the source of it for them.
Yeah, I think when people say they're sick, like live in person, I barely ever hear Donald Trump's name even being spoken. But on Twitter, it's a whole other thing. And I think that people are inundated with it on Twitter. So when you say, if you go and you see 9 comedians and one comedian makes one Donald Trump joke, you're remembering all the Twitter stuff you read. And you're like, God, I'm so sick of this.
But that's what I'm talking about. We're drowning in it. We like the social media used to be an escape from all of the news stuff. And now social media is a counterpart of it. So it's complete full immersion. You know, we're talking about him now. I don't want to fucking talk about that piece of shit.
We're not talking about him. We're talking about how other people are talking about him.
Oh, it's so meta. We're so meta.
It's not meta. No, it's not meta at all. It's not. That's the wrong use of the word meta. No, we're talking about how other people are processing something.
Maloney's going to have a field day about that, because it's like we were talking about.
Oh yeah.
How people talk about rape on the internet. We're talking about how people talk about rape on the internet.
Yeah. By the way, 24-year-olds, grow up. If you hear the word rape on stage and in the context of an anti-rape joke, that person's on your team. And if you trash them, you're alienating people who are speaking up. If you can't say a word, you can't fix the problem.
They did the Vice documentary about these. They did these, or some Vice episode or some shit like that, where they're talking about these college representatives that were justifying them being able to fire people over saying things that are offensive to audiences. I don't think I've ever been more mad, because what they're doing is also, to me, is the equivalent of victim blaming. Like, because if somebody talks about rape on stage, you don't get to tell, you saying that they're not allowed to is you telling a victim how they're allowed to deal with their trauma, which to me is just as fucking gnarly as you blaming the victim for it. To me, it's the same fucking thing, because you're telling somebody how they're allowed to deal with something fucked up that happened to them. You didn't go through it, you piece of shit. So shut the fuck up and let me make light of it so I don't want to kill myself.
Unless it's too raw and you don't have you're not coming across as funny. That happens a lot.
Well, sure, that's the whole confessional thing, but it's usually because they're not seasoned enough in comedy to be able to do it.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
You know what's funny is that I brought back a very, like, kind of, I would never call the joke offensive, but it is about sensitive subjects. I brought a joke back last night for the first time in probably 6 months. And I've had so much good stage time in the last six months.
Which joke is it?
It's that Roman Polanski joke.
Can you tell people?
I will tell the Roman Polanski joke.
Yeah, which just so they have context.
The joke is, so I know two things about Roman Polanski. One is that he survived the Holocaust.
And I don't even think I knew that.
Yeah, he survived the Holocaust. Also,
good for him.
And also I know that he raped a 15-year-old girl in a hot tub. He gave her Quaaludes and raped her in a hot tub, which made me feel something or think something I've never thought before in my life, which is I wish the Nazis had just gotten one more guy in the Holocaust. Like, 6 million was plenty, but 6 million and one would have saved a couple girls some real grief.
Yeah.
You know? And that's the majority. I'm not going to do the whole thing, but that's the basis of the joke. But I think all this good stage time I've had in the last 6 months. Just like I didn't change a word that I said, but it worked in a way it hadn't worked before, which means that I think I'm just that much more confident saying something that I know for a fact is going to alienate some people.
Sure.
You know, or whatever. But like, I think there was an extra, I don't care how you feel look in my eyes that made it work really well. And then this girl got really mad at me for that joke. And I was like, oh, sorry, I killed a rapist in my joke. I'll not kill any rapists
in
my jokes.
And that's what's always great. I always talk about him like this. That's what's great about like Burr and somebody like that is like he already has a response for how you may feel. Mm-hmm. And so he can quelch that going into the next line. So it's – and that's something that I think would be a benefit to even that bit is like – if you're upset about that, you want the rapist to live.
Right. The only way this joke is offensive to you is if you're
pro
Roman Polanski.
Yeah.
Which is insane. Yeah, because I was like, stupid Nazis couldn't even get that right. Like,
right.
You know? And so in that joke, I called Nazis stupid and killed a rapist, and still it offended lefty LA. Mm-hmm.
Because they don't know how to process this kind of thing.
They can't hear the word rape come out of a man's mouth. They can't do it, some of these like 22-year-old girls. And the thing is, if you can't say a word, you can't fix that word's problem.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've got to be able to say these things freely so you can have honest discussions about them. Not that I'm trying on stage to have an honest discussion about anything. Absolutely not.
Right.
I'm not trying to educate anybody. I think that's a silly joke.
What are you trying to do on stage?
Just be funny. That's it. That's it. I have no points. I don't want to change anything. I think it's funny to come up with a reason why I wish one more person died in the Holocaust. I think that's silly.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like just a rude thought.
Mm-hmm.
And but I'm not trying to make a point. I do believe Roman Polanski should be killed.
Yeah.
I think he's a bad person. I would trade in Chinatown for him
this
being dead.
This is what's fucked up. Is your method of killing him, if it was just that guy should have died, she would have been fine with.
But not it's funny. Because, it's not funny.
Sure. But I'm saying, but that's my point, is it's just the method in which that you killed him in that joke is what was offensive.
Uh-huh.
Which doesn't make any sense. It's a thing that already happened. Or do you want to pretend it didn't?
I know. We're adults here. Let's make fun of adult things. Life's disgusting.
But
let's
maybe,
make fun of it.
And maybe, and this isn't a sensitive thought, but maybe it's because they haven't experienced enough. Maybe because things are becoming easier and simpler and less fucking awful in moving forward, which is a good thing, that all of these really horrific things that have happened, which is actually kind of ironic because there's still kind of this looming possible nuclear thing that's supposed to happen. But everybody's trying to act like we don't talk about anything bad that's ever happened because we don't want it to happen again.
Which is exactly how it doesn't work.
And that's exactly
that's
how it
does happen.
The whole
point
again.
Of teaching history is so you don't repeat the mistakes.
Right.
It's so fucking annoying. That it was just so. Last night was. I had. Don't get me wrong. The set was great. I got exactly what I wanted. It was funny, but just a few people came up to me with really aggressive, angry attitudes. Like I was doing a joke about how the only diversity that matters is black and white. And it's not my point, but I do think that like whenever there's a discussion about diversity, if you throw a few black people on it, the discussion stops. Like you don't. I never really hear a national debate on when we're going to have an Asian president. Like, I just don't hear that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that happens within the Asian community, but diversity stops. The complaints usually stop at black. And whatever, that's how it is. I don't feel either way about that. But I did a joke about that, and it was so funny because that same...
But that's the whole thing is now everything has to be a point. Like, it's not... You can't just point something out where it's like, well, what are you trying to say?
Yeah, nothing. You know, I'm an idiot.
It's just something that I noticed.
And I had a silly joke about it, and this girl got real... Same girl. It was like she took notes. I did a fucking 4-minute set. And some...
Jesus Christ, I thought you were doing like a lot of time.
No.
She had, 4 minutes to get this mad at you?
Yeah, and then you know what's funny? The front row, there was three black ladies. Okay, she called my set heteronormative.
Mm-hmm.
This is all the things she said. She said my set was offensively heteronormative. I made light of anal rape, which is a whole nother joke that did not make light of anal rape at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then that diversity joke was racist or whatever. And then I couldn't have made a more perfect thing happen. Three black girls from the front row came out immediately asked me what my Instagram name is because they wanted to follow me. They said I was the funniest person they saw all night. Turns out two of them, lesbian couple. Two gay black women came out, got my contact information so that they could find out when my next show is. And while meanwhile, there's some dumb white bitch in the corner crying over how I offended on behalf of these people who liked me.
Yeah.
I was like, everything you got mad at that you're defending right now, the people who actually live that experience and that existence just followed me on Instagram and wanted to see me again.
But that's exactly my point. People who have been through actual racial struggles and shit like that mm-hmm. are capable of listening to you make light of things because they've already been through it. They've lived that experience. You're making fun of a thing that they've lived. That's relatable.
I know.
Not you. Oh, no, don't talk about... Don't. That's it's even more fucking racist. Don't talk about race
right.
on black people.
Also, she said that I was making a joke about a license plate that said I Heart Anal on it that I really... you can all see on 6th and Carondelet at the parking garage. Broke
yeah, we
down.
Talked about it on the episode with Ryan
that, that's a real thing I saw and the whole like we said on the podcast the joke was who makes license plate prisoners there's nobody who hates anal more on earth than most prisoners
yeah.
like half of them do
yeah.
or whatever and the other half love it but she called that joke heteronormative and I was like okay let's pretend all the anal sex in prison that happens is consensual gay sex that's not what it is also
it's not even about the fucking anal
it's
sex.
It's not about anal sex.
The bit is, hey, the people that are making these things, that
don't
should,
feel that way.
Yeah,
and
they
that's,
don't feel that
and
way.
And that's some pretty brutal irony.
To make a thing. Yes.
And so, and
oh my God,
and then,
blow everything out.
And then when she said that my set was heteronormative, I was like, okay, well, here's my thing. I am a heterosexual guy, and that's my experience in life. And if I were to try and not, if I were to try and speak on behalf of non-heteronormative people, I'm speaking from somebody else's experience, which seems like something you're very uncomfortable with. So maybe so what is it? Should I speak from my experience or should I speak on other people's experience? Because I don't know. Should I have a non-heteronormative stance in comedy, even though my experience is
a heteronormative
experience?
Actually, you just triggered a memory for me. I actually had a conversation like this. A woman came up to me after the show and she was like, I really loved your set. I just wish you would have like, it just seems like it was from very like a cis point of view. And I was like,
should I speak on other people's behalf?
And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Or I was like, are you LGBT? And she was just like, no, I'm just saying like, it just really only speaks from that one point. And I was like, well, yeah, because that's my point of, what do you want me? I'm sorry. I'm not.
That girl will be running Comedy Central in a week.
Like, what do you want me to lie? Do you want me to say that I'm trans and that I used to be a man and now I'm a woman? Like,
well, you could go that angle, or you could say I'm a cis straight person and then speak on behalf of other people, which in my opinion is rude. Is rude. What if I started talking about the black experience? Who wants to hear me talk about the black experience?
People that go see Gary Owen.
People I don't want buying my t-shirt want to hear me speak about the black
who
experience.
Definitely needs to thank his wife for his whole fucking career.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and when I'm saying how dare he call himself a comedian anyway? Go fuck yourself, Gary Owen.
Normally I don't bash other comics on this podcast. It is kind of like one of those things where it's like, okay, if
I'm all about naming names.
If
now.
You're all if your entire career is based on the fact that you have a black wife.
Yeah, like that joke about diversity and all that stuff. That's my observation of how I see things going down from the outside. Mm-hmm. It's not speaking from a perspective other than my own. And
well, how are you supposed to? How are you supposed to talk about something from something that you haven't personally experienced?
Also,
because that's what the thing is. Like a lot of these people that are doing that, a lot of these people that are like, so it's so hard being blah blah blah. Everything that they're not. If you want those people's perspective so much, then hand them the microphone.
I know, right? That's funny because somebody made a joke about that girl last night. He said, how funny would it be if she said she went on stage for a sentence? I wish I could give credit to who said this. I cannot remember. But it was like, I know I have a microphone, but I think for once it's time for me to listen. And then she just pulls up a chair and just gives the microphone to somebody. Are there any POC people up here? Are there any? Please, POC people, raise your hands.
You know, it'd be even funnier is if she handed it to those three black women in the front, and they were like, "Bring Brian back." That's the fantasy you can jerk off to later.
Yeah, let me take a note on that. Are there any sketch artists? Please make that comic strip. No, that's so funny though. Yeah, it's just, and also, but you know who? You know what else? It's like you exposed yourself as being a horrifically unfunny person. Like you're just painfully funny because I didn't hear all the shit she said on stage.
Oh, did she? Oh, you didn't watch her set. Did she?
She trashed me with, and she trashed me, and then this is what the bartender said.
So she was a comedian.
Allegedly.
In quotes.
Yeah, yeah, allegedly.
She went up on stage. So it wasn't just an offended audience member. This was also somebody
who girls who followed me were audience members. They weren't comics.
But the person that was offended
was a comic, allegedly. And the bartender told me what she said, and he said, he goes, "She made fun of you, everybody got quiet and looked around, and then she bombed and couldn't finish a 3-minute spot." And it's like, yeah. And also,
that's
this
beautiful
is
like, justice right there.
But another thing, people need to think about like economy of work. Like when you start including every single possible perspective, the joke loses rhythm. And it's like, this joke is about a specific thing. I know there are other versions of this experience. I know anal sex exists consensually between two homosexual men. It also exists consensually between two heterosexual couples. Like I know, but that's not the anal sex I'm talking about.
And that's the thing is too, what do you have to
it's
say?
Not
that?
Even
do
sex.
You have to say all that too?
Yeah, and then
anal
it's not
sex
funny.
Exists between a trans couple, between a heterosexual couple, between a gay couple.
Just so you know, for this joke, I will be addressing only the unconsensual anal sex that happens within two men in prison.
What are you giving a dissertation on?
So fucking
stupid.
It wouldn't bother me if it was an audience member. I would be bragging about that story because I love upsetting the audience. Mm-hmm. But it was a comic, and that's like what frustrated me. But
I think it's just
nonetheless, I really want to say I had so much fun not being clean on stage. And,
we haven't really gotten to talk about that because Brian had to go to Kentucky. We know about that, but we didn't. They didn't. I don't think they knew that you had to be
I had to be squeaky clean.
Squeaky clean.
The worst word I said on stage was balls.
Yeah.
And by the way, that was how I closed
was
every set.
The funniest phone call I've ever gotten from you.
I had to call a grown man. As a grown man, I had to call another grown man.
Called me and asked me.
Oh, I called you first Preacher. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You called me and you go, "Hey, you think it's okay if I say balls?" And I was like, "What?" And then I was like, you opened with that. And then I was
I didn't.
I was like, of all the things you've said in your life, you're asking me if I think you should say balls? What the fuck are you talking about? And then I was like, oh, right. You're going to go do this clean set, blah, 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 blah.
Classic self-absorbed comedian who's like, oh, wait, you weren't thinking about what I was just thinking about? Oh, I thought when I call people, they're in my head. They already know what's going on.
My aunt does that all the time. Like, she's so great at that. She'll be like, she's like, hey, I don't hear what you think. I only know what you're saying. So you have to fill in the gaps, you fucking dummy. Oh, she's so funny. If you're listening, I love you, Angelina.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. It sounds like I love Angelina too.
You would love her. She's rad. And so then you called Preacher too to get double value. Because I was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Hey, boss.
Excuse me, sir. Just want to know if it's okay if I say balls on stage. Not like I'm putting balls in anybody's face or nothing, but I just.
Well, I am. No, it's in front of an entire preschool class. But I'm embarrassed. All right, here's the deal. I'm saying balls. Because the balls are in front of children.
But
in
the
joke.
Balls don't come out. It just it's you
just
don't actually
pants.
Have your actual balls.
At
out
no
front
point
of
do
children.
I describe balls falling out of the hole.
No, you're making you sound way worse.
Yeah, I know, but it's just funny to be like, all right, here's all you need to know. I'm talking
kids,
about balls. It's in
balls.
Front of kids, but there's a lot of shame.
Is that okay?
I'm not proudly showing children my balls. I know that's too far. But what if I'm embarrassingly showing children my balls? Is that within the
not
right?
Like in a sexual way.
No, nothing sexual about
it's
it at all.
Nothing.
No, I'm just fat. I'm just fat and I ripped my pants. Is that okay? All right. Well, I'm going to close on it.
And it did well, didn't it?
Oh my God, it did well. It did so well. So this the preacher, you know, he's a good dude. And there was a
former guest on the podcast. Listen to his episode.
There was a comic hanging around Barton, and Pritch is like, "You a comic?" He's like, "Yeah." And he goes, "You want to do a guest spot? Second show Saturday night?" Just being nice. Also, probably hooking up another black dude in Kentucky,
yeah,
which there
for
aren't
sure.
very many.
Exactly.
He was. He does a meet and greet after and meets everybody. And these two black girls walk up, and he goes, "What's up, number two and three?" But he gives. He's just being a good guy, and yeah. He gives this black comic a guest spot, and he goes, "Shit, does he know to be clean?" And what's funny is that I was like, "I'll go tell him to be clean," because they were all seating in the lobby, and he's like, Bridge is like a celebrity, so he couldn't walk through the lobby.
Yeah.
So I was like, "I'll go find him and tell him." So I went and told him to be clean, and the guy goes, "Oh yeah, no problem, no problem." Then goes on stage and starts about choking bitches and stuff.
Oh my god!
And Pritchard yells at me like, "Bruh, did you tell him he has to be clean?" I go, I was like, he ran one joke by me, and I said, "Don't do that joke." And then that was all he, and then he said, "Sure, I got clean." And he goes, "Man, some people just don't know what that means."
Well, to be honest with you, it is kind of vague, because that's why.
That's why I had to call him and ask him about balls.
I know, because there's TV clean, there's PG-13 clean, there's fucking family friendly clean. Like, there's a very big difference. Like, whenever somebody emails me and they're like, "Hey, can you work clean?" I go, "You're gonna have to define it. You want me to not cuss? Sure. You want me to not do sex or drug jokes? Okay.
No religion.
What do you want? You want me to be Mormon clean? Because that's also something else too. You can't talk about God.
Yeah,
because
I guarantee you, I could walk up there, not talk about religion, not swear, or talk about sex, and still have everybody in that room walking away feeling dirty.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee it.
Of course, you just talked about Roman.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was sex, but not sex. Let's not call rape sex.
No, let's not. It's not in the same category.
No, this is not even the same universe. Let's not call, the way I said let's, oh, I wanted to cut my tongue out. Let's not call rape sex. That should be a shirt I sell at the Women's March.
You would make so much money.
I wouldn't, but.
Yeah, have you sold them?
Yeah, somebody else should sell them, a lady. Yeah, that shit's frustrating, man. People just looking for a reason to be upset because nothing's happened to them. I guarantee you, just like even, and also, I don't want to have to give you my fucking trauma resume. I'm not trying to date you.
But that's the other thing. I don't want to give
you.
I'm not trauma bonding with the audience. What am the only way I would do that is if I'm trying to fuck all of you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at some point, comedy's going to get to the point where you get on stage and there's going to be a big white projector screen behind you, mm-hmm. and they're going to project all the bad things that have happened to you so they know that it's okay you talk about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hey, I've been raped, so all these rape jokes are coming from a place of knowledge.
Well, that's like,
and
that's
people
the thing.
Are like, "Thank God he's been raped, because otherwise I don't want to hear this."
Exactly, dude. That's so fucked up. That really upsets me, uh-huh. because I don't want to talk about it like that. You
know
what I mean?
I want to be funny and silly about it, because that's what makes me feel better.
Yes. Why are you trying to take away the only thing that makes me feel better about it? Fuck you. Now I know why Daniel Tosh told that woman, "I hope you get raped."
Dan Cook, not Daniel. But Daniel Tosh probably has also said that.
No, Daniel Tosh.
Dan Cook said that recently, too.
Did he really?
Like, to almost a standing ovation.
What?
Here's the thing about Dan Cook is he's good at comedy. Shocker. Mm-hmm. I didn't even mean to say shocker like that. Wasn't that his thing?
Oh, my God, yes. He does the Sufi.
Sufi.
Mm-hmm. Might as well be.
Yeah, he's good at comedy, and but he's also one of the most miserable human beings on earth, and his material is super dark.
Look at his Instagram.
Yeah, his material is super dark right now, and I guess he was doing a rape joke that offended a lady in the audience, and everybody in the audience hated her because he's a 35-year comic probably now. He's been doing it forever. He's a professional.
Yeah.
You're out of your league, lady. And he said something, I guess he ended his set with, "I wish you'd been raped," which I guess is exactly what Tosh did. But
he did a rape joke, and then a woman got upset, and he was like, "Well, why doesn't somebody rape her?" Or something like, he was shutting down a heckler because she was yelling at him.
Yeah, yeah.
So in a Daniel Tosh fashion.
Yeah. You know, people also don't realize.
This is also like 10 or 12 years ago when rape jokes were also way more chill.
I remember Louie got in trouble for that because he tweeted something about Daniel Tosh being funny, and he didn't even know about the rape controversy. He was just watching Tosh.0.
And then he turned off his Twitter for the weekend because he was like out in some vacation area. You're a
rape sympathizer. Then he deleted Twitter.
Yep.
But yeah, I guess, but a West Hollywood crowd like almost gave Dan Cook a standing ovation for saying, "I wish you had been raped." Listen, I don't care how you feel. I don't care how you feel at home about what I just said and the context of what I said. But I challenge anybody in the world to get a West Hollywood crowd to uproariously applause you ending a set with "I wish you had gotten raped" to a person, to their face, looking them in the eye. No matter how you feel about that material being unacceptable, that is an impressive feat.
Yeah.
It's a very impressive feat.
Talk about balls.
Yeah.
Can you say that on stage?
Talk about talent, though. My God, skill.
Right.
That's like heart surgery. That is not easy.
No. But that's the whole thing is that because what West Hollywood loves more than being sympathetic to people having them is celebrities. They love celebrities more than they love people.
He's not even a celebrity anymore.
He's in West Hollywood. They love him.
Talk about your parents' heritage. That's what they want.
Mm-hmm. No, that's what the industry wants.
Yeah. I want to hear where your parents' ancestry is from. What are you? Half what and half what? What does that mean?
Yeah, that's what the industry wants. The audience doesn't want that.
Yeah.
They want to be able to have the Instagram post to be like, "Oh my God, I just saw Dan Cook tell someone it was crazy." That's what they want. West Hollywood people aren't real people.
You know who's going to be getting in trouble soon because he's about to blow up is Andrew Schultz. He's about to, I guarantee he's got a bit going viral right now, and the title of the video is "Gender Inequality Isn't All That Bad." And it's a really funny bit that's not mean at all.
Right.
It's just a good joke.
It's the title, though.
I know.
Because it's just like articles on the internet. People don't fucking read them.
Yeah.
They see the title and then they devise.
But people are loving it right now because the only people sharing it are people who like it. But it's going to, in the next couple, it's going viral. So it's going to get into the hands of the fucking
the mob,
the idiots, the bloggers. But I'm excited because I think he's really funny. And he's a young dude and he's good. And I think it's great that bit is going viral because I'm so sick of people sharing like those garbage Conan sets. Ugh, like that one blonde girl with the Nazi joke. Oh, I hated her so much. I really wish I remembered her name so I could say how much I hated her.
I don't think I know. I don't watch a lot of Conan sets unless it's like somebody
I only watched this one because everybody was sharing it.
Yeah.
And it's like, she's just right. She's not funny.
Yeah.
She's right. But also, bold stance making fun of Nazis. Woo!
Yeah.
Way to hit them where it hurts. Way to attack power structures. So fucking annoying. I hate when a set is called Brave.
Well, yeah, then it's not a set. Then it's a miniature TED Talk.
Yuck. Go make your points in college in an essay. Go do that.
Well, that's why I feel like a lot of these kids want that. These like real young comics, the ones that are fresh
they
out of college.
They want to be right.
I think it's just them. I think they're doing it for a public speaking credit. I think that's what's happening. This is a thing I've observed, and this is what's wrong with it. And there might be a couple of lines that are funny in it, but it's mostly prose.
Well, yeah, and all the comics they like, they don't realize they're not listening to the comics they think they like. They're not listening. It's like, what inspired you to do comedy? I don't understand. There's nothing funny about you. You don't like comedy.
But I think that's what it is. I think people are just doing it now without being inspired to do it. Like, so I've wanted to do stand-up my entire life. I remember since kindergarten, maybe even before then, I was immersed by it, mesmerized by it, and obsessed with it.
Who was your first person?
It was Bill Cosby himself and Gallagher. Gallagher, the one with the big couch
on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I watched that when I was a kid too. It was on Comedy Central constantly.
Well, I also it was the DVD VHS that I would like. You know how some kids watch Frozen over and over and over and over again? Mine was I would watch himself over and over and
himself
over and over.
Himself is
again.
So funny.
It's a perfect special.
That's that bit about how you waste your whole life at work and then you get wasted on the weekends.
Sure.
And you're just ruining your whole life. Like, is so funny.
Yeah.
It is
the
so
whole thing.
Funny.
I used to constantly. My parents used to get so annoyed because I would constantly sing, "Dad is great. He gave us chocolate cake." Like I used to do that whole entire bit.
Dad is great. He gave us chocolate cake. Dad is great. He gave us chocolate cake. Yeah. Oh, that chocolate cake bit is so good.
I know. With
I'm looking at the cake. It has eggs.
I'm looking through the Rolodex and I look up the chocolate cake and there's eggs.
And then the punchline is his wife comes in and goes, "Go back to bed," which is where I wanted to be the whole time. God, that joke is funny.
And it's weird. And I always think about this because like with recent things that have happened and stuff like that, it's like I think there is a separation between both of them in that
what do you
I
mean?
Can't like just because
both of what?
Because Bill Cosby, you know, drugging and raping over 60 women or sexually
assaulting. That special is called Bill Cosby Really Himself.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's so horrible. I can't go back and not be inspired by that special, you know, like that and those, the precipice of me ever wanting to do this and my whole life being built on that. That was the beginning. That was the genesis of this entire journey that I've ever been on. I can't discount that, but
it's like that Gerard Carmichael bit that everybody got so mad at. They said,
"What was it?"
He said that if there wasn't slavery, my life wouldn't be nearly this dope. That's basically That's basically the premise of his joke. He's like, "My life is awesome. I have a sitcom on national television. Mm-hmm. I'm rich, and I owe all slavery."
And by you saying that, that doesn't mean that it's not, it shouldn't, like,
it doesn't belittle the horrors of
no,
slavery at all.
It's he's talking about his perspective without that horrible thing happening, which actually is a unique perspective because you don't ever hear anybody saying that.
I know.
Without the, you know, it's the same kind of thing. Without this horror, I would have never overcome.
It was controversial because he's not a victim in the joke. And white people are like, "But you're a victim and you should be more victim-y."
Because that makes me feel comfortable. Yeah, that's the whole
I wish
thing.
I was a
that's
victim. The, how dare you throw away
racist.
Your victim status?
That's what I'm saying.
Of
that,
course
that
it's racist.
Itself is racist. Uh-huh. You telling somebody how they need to live that experience is fucking racist.
You know, it's another good incidental racism I stumbled across. Actually, comedian Zach Stein sent me this tweet. It was so funny because the Trump administration just pardoned Jack Johnson. Jack Johnson, first black heavyweight champion of the world.
I know. I saw a lot of tweets like, "I don't agree with this guy, but this is the first decision."
Yeah,
he did it.
That's a great thing. And just fucking be an adult and admit that that's a great thing. The highways in Germany are incredible. The Nazis built that. They're fantastic highways. Doesn't mean that it's awful the Jews were killed. The highways are great. The Trump pardon Jack Johnson. He probably didn't even, somebody's going to write in and say he probably didn't. He probably doesn't even know who Jack Johnson is.
Probably
I don't know.
Not.
But regardless, he pardoned Jack Johnson, which was who was the victim of some horrific racial injustice. And this woman, this white lady, tweeted, "I was under the impression that he had some domestic violence charges in his or something like that, but that doesn't matter to this administration." And it's like, you're so hell bent on criticizing Donald Trump that you suggest that Jack Johnson shouldn't have been pardoned. Like, how? Like, that's incidental racism. That's like accidental racism.
Yeah.
Or whatever, where you're like, this guy.
That's the shit that's way more infuriating to me because they think that they're doing something good.
Yeah. And that's like saying Martin Luther King shouldn't have a holiday because he cheated on his wife. It's just like, step out of your stupid housewife brain and see a bigger picture, you idiot. Like, you know what I mean? Like, God, she's just putting herself, she's being, because her thing, her Twitter name was like mom, something mom. Mm-hmm. So her whole identity is being like a mom. Mm-hmm. So she's just putting herself in his wife's position.
Right.
And it's just like, sure, that's awful if that even happened because he got charged with a lot of shit he didn't do.
Yeah.
Because that was that was the whole reason that he was a victim of such racial injustice was he was getting charged for bullshit. But even if he did do that, he stood up. He was one of the first people to stand up to white supremacy in the turn of the fucking 20th century or whatever, and succeed and take something away from people. Like, he took that heavyweight championship belt away from white America and put it around his fucking black torso. That's huge. That's awesome. That is a massive thing, and it had a huge ripple effect on society.
For sure.
And that lady can't even think outside of that because she hates Donald Trump that much. It's like, you fucking idiot. Take off your stupid, narrow-minded fucking lens and just look at a bigger... Ugh.
That's such a weird thing. That's like a weird thing to me when discussing things for morality, because there is almost like a... And it is the Gerard Carmichael joke is kind of in that same vein where... I don't know how to articulate this without not being upsetting in some way, just because it's not completely thought out.
Who cares? We've been just talking about how we don't care about upsetting people for like, why start now?
I know. But it's from a place of ignorance, so that should be able to that should be able to cover everything. Without that, isn't that outweigh the domestic him?
It's not even about outweighing it. First of all, let's get rid of our superhero mentalities. These are real people who bled blood.
So it shouldn't be good versus evil.
It's not. Nobody's all good and nobody's all bad. And if we stop thinking like that, then we won't have so much trouble in society. Take the whole guy into account. Everybody has an area they can work on. Everybody has flaws, but that doesn't take away from your greatness or what you did. Do you know what kind of personality it takes to be a Martin Luther King? To be a leader of a massive movement? You have to have a massive ego. You have to think you're worthy of that. And to have that kind of personality is going to come with some fucking flaws. There's no flawless leaders of a massive movement. Gandhi was a gnarly dude, but that doesn't take away that how important the independence of India, gaining independence away from colonizing England.
Right.
Like, stop thinking people are all good or all bad. That's such a child's perspective. We're not talking about fairy tales. We're talking about real human beings. Weigh in the whole thing. Let's acknowledge the bad stuff people do, but let's not discount the good stuff they did because they did some bad stuff.
So instead of it being like, because that's like the Eastern philosophy is the yin yang. You can't have good without evil. You can't have evil without good.
Sure.
Like, it's both part of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The strive is to try to always be more good than evil.
But what does that even mean? I mean, domestic violence is bad. There's no spinning that. But I mean, like, yes, we should be trying to be the best person. I'm not doing that, but we should, I guess. But, like, it just...
But I mean, how we're supposed to look at this kind of stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if like, I think you should just try to do your... I mean, I don't know. I think you should just try to do the best. I mean, you make mistakes. I was violent towards somebody that I dated, you know?
Sure.
That doesn't mean that I am a habitual abuser. You know what I mean? Like, I don't hit the guy that I see now much, you know? And that's a joke. But, you know, but it's the same kind of thing. Like, one thing I don't... We're constantly telling people that mistakes you've made don't define you, but that's what people
we only define people by their mistakes now. That's all we do.
But that's what I'm saying is, like, why would you ever improve then? Why would you ever want to be better? Why would you ever try to increase the amount of good versus evil within yourself if you are constantly going to be defined by that? But having that said, you know, if you take something extreme like a pedophile or a rapist or something like that, you kind of are defined by those kind of experiences.
Those aren't mistakes you make necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Those are.
I think they're mistakes. I mean, but I also think that.
I think they're well-informed decisions. Children are hot. Hey, what do you? No, but
I can't go down that riff road with you. I can't.
No, but what I'm saying is that those are. See, those aren't like somebody who's like a violent rapist or a pedophile. That's a symptom of something in their head that is wrong. So like broken.
But what if it's not a violent rapist?
So it's not like you're going to be, if you're a violent rapist, it's not like you're like, oh, he had his flaws. He's a good person, but he did. Like, Bill Cosby's not a good person by any, because he has a mental illness. Like, he needed help and he didn't seek it, which is his responsibility. So fuck him forever for not taking responsibility for his actions. Mm-hmm. And same with any pedophile.
But that's the thing, is like with people who are like, for
but
example,
you can
like
you can hit somebody, I think, like you said, like hitting a boy in a moment of. Mm-hmm. And that
full
can be
rage.
A mistake.
And but I carry that all constantly. Like I make fun of it. I make fun of it all the time. I call it my peaking in high school. You know, stuff like in. But I still feel guilt and feel bad for that. I think maybe that's the difference. Is like these really horrific types of people. Maybe they don't have the guilt and shame and stuff that comes after you realizing that you did something that you didn't. Maybe it does take somebody that is a sociopath.
I do think a lot of pedophiles have shame. I do.
You do?
I think so. Because we used to catch them at our preschool. Like, mm-hmm. there would be, like, weird guys who would, like, peek over the fence. Mm-hmm. And then we would, like, act like we didn't see them while we called the cops just mm-hmm. to keep them there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we would get the kids inside. Right. But, like, and then the way they were so, the way they acted when the cops came was nothing. You saw nothing but shame in their eyes. Which... like, it's like, fuck you for not getting help.
But how do you know that's not fake? How do you know that's not bullshit? Like,
I mean, just bawling, just like crying. Like, I don't know. It feels real. Either way, mm-hmm. again, that goes back to something we've talked about 100 times in this podcast, where it's like, if we weren't so fucking, if we had a more open society where we could talk about these things, then it would be easier for those people to seek help.
Well, like,
if you could walk up to anybody,
I'll use my experience as a specific example. Okay, I was molested, and then when it stopped, was one day I was about to go swimming. He went to touch me, and I told him, "I don't like that you do that."
As soon as you addressed it, he stopped.
Yeah, and yeah. He got upset, and he never did it again. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so that makes me have a feeling of some sort of empathy. Or not, but maybe sympathy, because I'm not on that side of the coin for somebody like that. In that, but then the having a predatory nature of you constantly trying to,
right,
you know, especially overcome another grown person. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know if I could put him in the same.
If
there
we
is
made
something,
it,
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
I feel like if we made it a society where somebody could say, hey, I have these feelings, I've never done anything about it, but I need to address it, and you get help, then that should be looked at like you had the flu. Like, that's, we should be that gentle about it with people who take that kind of responsibility. Now, if you do have those feelings and you act on them, you should be dragged through the streets by a truck. Mm-hmm. Like, because you didn't take responsibility.
Face down, so your genitals get
ripped. Sure, but there's a lot of, or just like let them flop around so they get 360 rashed. But I think, but we don't, but the thing is, we can't live in a world like that because we're hypocrites about that, because if somebody will still be judged if they openly talk about these feelings they have and not acting on it. And really, that takes more courage than almost anything in the world to be like, I have these feelings. I'm not doing anything about it, but I'm very open about it. You can't, there's nobody who is like that. I can't think of a single example of a person who's like that. But like, that's how it should be, but whatever, it isn't. So, and now you got, then when you make people go into hiding, that's when they get real sinister, right?
I guess, I don't know. I don't know, I think about this shit a lot, like in like how to deal with it, and I don't understand, because there's so much, fear and anger and stuff like that, and I think that's what a lot of stuff is based on. And not a lot of people, not a lot of victims, get to the point where they can, you know, even get to this where they can talk about it and stuff like that. Like, I've had guys that I've dated, for some reason people always can tell me about these really hurt. Like, I had a friend of mine who,
people open up to you right away.
Yeah. You ever have that?
Uh-huh, of course. It's disgusting.
You know, have
I try really hard to be a closed wall now. I'm so sick of people just opening up.
What?
Stop telling me about your life. What about it? I have big eyes. That doesn't mean that they're inviting eyes.
Fuck you, man. I have to deal with people thinking I'm in love with them just because I make direct eye contact and I smile. You know how many people think that I like them because I look at them and I smile?
You know what? That's a rare... that every guy, every girl thinks a guy's a creep if he makes eye contact and smiles too, if he's not attractive. That's my whole life. If I look at any girl in the eyes and smile, they're like, God, I don't want to fuck you.
But it's also just because I'm friendly and I'm a tactile person, so I'll hug you. Ugh. Even if you look a little gnarly. I try to give people the benefit of the doubt, even though I've had these really awful experiences. And, you know, most of the time...
Spicy foods give me diarrhea, but I use hot sauce on every meal.
But... My point is it's mostly good. That's what I've found, is it's mostly good. Even though the worst things, other than me being killed, have happened to me, things are still mostly good. And I think that the way that the world is being portrayed right now, people, there's no fucking hope, man. There's no hope.
Well, yeah, it's a victim contest. That was like, I don't know if we, I don't remember what Amy Miller interview we put out. As far as the Deadpool stuff, but she trashed Deadpool, and I'm with her. I agreed with some of the stuff she said about Deadpool, but one thing I thought was one joke that I thought was super. Did you see it, Deadpool 1, the first one?
No, I never saw any of them.
The way the love interests connect is they have a contest over who had a worse life, and it's all done in jest. It's like very funny, but it is exactly what society is now. Is just like, well, I had it worse than you did. Well, I had it worse than you did. Well, he had it the worst, so he's the best. It's just so weird. It's just like a trauma contest.
See, and that's what's fucked up is my point of view is the opposite of that. My point of view is the worst can happen and you can still be okay.
Yeah.
You know? And no, and like, I'm not, I get a lot of side eyes for it. I get a lot of side eyes for it just because it's like, that's what's really brave, you fucking pussy.
Right. Yeah, well, what are you going to do? People stink. I always, you know what annoys me though is when you get in front of an older crowd, they act that way. Cause whenever I get in front of a crowd that's like in their 30s or 40s, I'm like, oh, thank God.
Yeah, you've been through some shit.
I know. Mm-hmm. I fucking hate going up in front of young people. Like if there's any, like if there's nothing I hate worse than a crowd full of people I'd fuck. That's like, that's the worst comedy crowd there is.
Thanks for telling everybody you wouldn't fuck anybody in their 30s or 40s. Good job, Brian. Real good job.
Sorry, not that I would fuck, that I'd like to fuck.
Gross. What are they, my age? Ugh.
Oh, what are we going to talk about 2003 together? Ugh. Remember what, before 9/11?
Relatable experiences?
Yeah, there's nothing less attractive than somebody who remembers before 9/11.
It was so funny. No, I had kidding. the dude I'm seeing, Gary, had somebody. He was like driving somebody around for Lyft or something like that. And there was a passenger who was like crying. It was like two girls, and
of course,
they were crying.
I knew
about
they
a
were
guy.
Girls. They were crying.
Guys cry.
Not an Uber. My best friend shot himself in the head, and I had to take an Uber home because I couldn't handle being at a comedy show.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no, I did cry in that Uber. Never mind.
Did you?
Yeah, never mind. I did. I was about to be like, and I didn't even cry. No, I bawled like a slap bitch. No, I never mind.
Well, because it's a stranger. You're never going to see
like
him again.
But I'm like half girl.
And so, you know, Gary's got these two crying chicks in the backseat, and he was just like trying to help, you know, because he's a very helpful dude.
Yeah.
So he was just like, oh, well, this, you know, it's okay. You'll get over it. Like, this awful thing happened to me. And I was like, you trauma bonding with these bitches?
Like, you got jealous?
Not like fake jealous. I was like, how dare you share a mutual or a horrific experience with some dumb bitch? Like, it was so funny.
Don't worry, all three.
Give me your name, I'll kill her.
Don't worry, all three of them were on antidepressants, so they couldn't fuck. Don't worry. How funny would it be to sneak antidepressants to your boyfriend just so he can't cheat on you?
Don't put it past me, Brian. Don't put it past me.
I've been crushing Paxil in your soup for the last 2 years just so you won't cheat on me. You can have that if you want.
Thank you.
I know it's a very heteronormative.
It's just not my experience.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what about lesbian couples? God, just saying the word lesbian feels so 90s. You know what I mean? It feels
you have to encode, like, even
it's just all queer. It's all queer.
You can't even be specific about which part of the LGBTQXYZ
community. Q is the only one that feels smooth to me, like that, or
questioning?
Modern. No, no,
because there's two Qs now.
Well, I meant queer,
but
like bisexual, lesbian, all those words sound gay for everybody. like, and queer for everybody seem like the only ones, and trans. But I don't even really think, I don't want to walk through this in public.
I don't either.
I don't want any emails about this discussion at all.
Let's do the grape of the week. How about that?
I felt good about this one.
This episode?
Mm-hmm. I've had fun.
Me too. We didn't talk about anything on our list.
I know.
And we, but that's what's always great about us having a list is we don't
There's
ever talk about anything.
There's always next time. Mm-hmm. I can talk about how I hate dolphins another time. Not that I hate dolphins, but I like boxing better.
Let's see.
What a teaser that was, huh? What does he mean, boxing and dolphin? What? Dolphin. Tune dolphin. In next week. That's our little sound for gripe, gripe, gripe of the week. Happy Memorial Day, everybody.
All right. Here's some gripe of the weeks. We have
gripe of the week.
Gripe of the week.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to 103.5 KOST. We're doing a little contest for Steve Miller tickets. You're caller number 15. Please tell us what's been bothering you. Hi, my name is Marty Shalders. I'm caller number 15. I would really like Steve Miller tickets. And my gripe of the week is the Padres need to hire Dallas McLaughlin for their TV broadcast. The analyst they have now is a total bore and needs to go.
This is all you, dude. I don't know anything. What any of those words mean.
No. Well, I'll say this. No broadcaster could make the Padres interesting.
Oh, poor Marty. That is Happy birthday, Marty.
That is the most boring team in baseball. You could put Sam Kennison and Rodney Dangerfield in the booth, and they would fall asleep watching the Padres. The Padres is where you go after you've been busted for steroids and haven't been good for 16 years.
Damn.
Ryan Timothy.
The Padres are the rehab center.
They're just terrible. MLB. Yeah, it's just a place to go die. It's Florida of baseball.
Oh, my God.
It's the retirement
community. I thought
community.
That was the Marlins.
No, the Marlins are where you go to... Never mind.
To do the drugs and then you end up in...
Yeah. Ryan, I was going to make an inappropriate Jose Fernandez joke, but I like him too much. Ryan Timothy says, fucking anime nerds try and flex on Western animation as though we're just unenlightened plebeians, when in reality, most of the weeb shit is shittily animated and written with all the subtlety of a cock slap. I don't know as much about Western and Eastern anime as I do about the San Diego Padres. So I would love to chime in some way.
Marty lives in San Diego, so he's biased.
Well, sure. He sounds like a Padres fan. He's complaining about the broadcast. I assumed he... I mean, it's not like they show Padres games in other cities.
They don't?
No. They would show...
Are they like the worst one in the league or something?
Yes. I would rather watch a live murder than watch the Padres play. And those stupid camo unis they wear every now and then, the Digicam Padre uniforms. I get it. You're a Marine town, but those are ugly. You're not fighting a war.
I don't know about the anime stuff, dude.
I don't know about Western and Eastern anime. I know that people who like anime wear stupid shirts. That I know. I know that adults like cartoons way too much now. I have nothing to say about that. So I'm going to give it to the Padres because that's the only thing I understood.
This one's for Mr. Thomas Israel.
I know you guys live in Southern California where every highway is at least 6 lanes, but in the rest of the country, such is not the case. Don't act like we've only been to Southern California.
I lived out of a Saturn, motherfucker.
I lived in Athens, Georgia. Half the roads weren't even paved. It's 2018, and it's time for every interstate to be 3 lanes each direction. This 2-lane shit isn't cutting it anymore. There are too many vehicles in this country, especially semis, for only 2 fucking lanes. This is ridiculous. I understand that complaint. I do think that we should reinvest in locomotive transportation.
Why don't we hire the Nazis to make some more highways?
The thing is, though, I mean, I like how I answer it like it's a good... Yeah, I mean, that we could do that. We could, but...
I was just trying to make a callback, and I was like, no, don't agree. No.
I mean, that's a good idea. I don't know if that's necessarily the best solution. I mean, this is a fucking common knowledge, but we should invest more in locomotives and get a lot of semis off the road. Yeah, for shipping.
Oh, like, but build, CSX is fucking always behind. Isn't that why?
But you build more rails, and then with those rails, you make more high-speed passenger rails, which will take semis and humans off the road. I think instead of building more lanes, we need to get away from car-centric thinking. I know that's the most California answer I could ever give you, but it's and it's also an honest answer, which is what I try not to do. But whatever. Sorry. Joseph John, we not got John Joseph from the Cro-Mags.
Nope, Joseph
who
John.
Wrote the book Meat is for Pussies. What, am I reading Joseph John?
Mm-hmm.
People who pay for reserved parking in shitty apartment complexes. Why don't you use that extra money to just move into a better apartment and stop fucking with me? I don't understand.
I feel like this is another one that was happening right as I know.
It's so specific. I don't really understand how to talk about it. How are they fucking with you, Joseph John? Are you saying that people who don't know, because you said get a better apartment, people who pay for reserved parking and shitty. Oh, is it like he's going to see his girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever, and he wants to park in the parking garage, but all the spots are taken, or people are asking if he has a reserved spot? I'm trying to put myself in your shoes, Joseph John. Also, it's really hard for me not to call you John Joseph because I love the fucking Cro-Mags. Age of Quarrel is the best hardcore album that was ever written. Can we talk about that?
He's got two of them. Read the other one. The other one makes a little bit more sense.
Also, after like 3.5 billion years of evolution, the best the inside of my cheek could come up with as a defense mechanism was swell up so it's easier to bite you.
Have you ever done that? I hate that.
Every human being on earth has bitten their cheek.
Well, you know, when you bite your cheek or you bite your tongue.
You rebite it?
You rebite it. Mm-hmm. The rebite is so ridiculous.
Slow down when you eat.
Sometimes it's not even that. It's not even how fast you're eating. I'm not a fast eater.
I am.
Yeah, I'm surprised you would have even felt like you wouldn't actually, even felt
when you
it.
Eat when you eat fast, you don't chew, so I'm not biting much. That's what you should do. Speed
you
up.
Just eat like a pelican.
Yeah, yeah.
Just
go, yeah, yeah. It flops around in my lower chin for a little while, and under my jaw, you just see like all this like I don't know how to explain it visually. It's a visual
Your
thing.
Your gullet starts flapping around.
Yeah, like when you see a fish in the bottom beak of a pelican. You know, exactly like what Carmen just said. But like for five
Thanks
minutes.
Thanks for adding so much to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly what she said, but let me fumble around for 5 minutes and make it worse. Oh.
But man. I hate the double bite. It's so rude.
It really.
How does swelling in that part of the body make anything better? I don't understand why we haven't evolved in our mouths.
What would evolution do? What are you talking about? How could you evolve differently? I mean, it sends blood to the area because blood is what it's the rejuvenation of cells. So what could you see? Come
you know
up
what?
With a better
you know what
plan.
I just thought about. Joseph
also,
John,
evolution. Get out of here.
Joseph John.
There is no evolution.
Just put a fucking piece of ice in your mouth, dude.
Joseph John, are you insinuating that we came from monkeys? There's probably a perfectly good reason why God made our cheeks swell when we bite them. Ask God, which it sounds like you haven't done enough talking to him anyway,
God,
Joseph
shut
John.
Up.
Get your ass in church. Both of your names are very classic Christian names. Joseph, Jesus' stepdad. John, the 316 guy.
The so, Baptist. John the Baptist.
Right. 316 guy. How dare you use those names and talk about evolution? You fucking hypocrite.
So who do you think got the grape of the
Everybody
week?
Everybody but John Joseph. That godless savage. Those are all pretty good. I liked the San Diego Padres one because it lines up directly with my interests.
Of course. So you're biased.
I love baseball.
You actually should plug your podcast. If you guys, if anybody listens, actually, Marty, you would probably really like this. Brian has a podcast where he just talks about baseball, him and
comedian Bruce Gray.
Comedian
it's
Bruce
called
Gray.
Baseball Idiots, and we're not good at talking about baseball. We're just funny about it. We love baseball, but we're not smart. And but we interview
kind of like this podcast, but yeah. About everything.
I like how every one of my premises are. All right, check it out. We're going to talk a lot, but we're not going to know anything. How's that sound? But the baseball podcast, we interviewed people from professional Mexican baseball players, professional American baseball players. It's a good one. We're going to Tijuana to party with Tijuana de Toros de Tijuana. How about it? Toros
Bulls of Tijuana.
Yeah, yeah. Toros de Tijuana, the defending Mexican professional baseball champions. We're going to go party with them and record a podcast with that baseball team.
That's rad.
It's going to be
you
good.
You guys going to get some whores together, some TJ whores. Oh, we can't talk about that on the podcast. You just looked very uncomfortable. So the gripe of the week goes to...
I'll be doing a clean set in Tijuana in a couple weeks. At the
which just means his balls is coming out. Hey, come on.
Stop it. Just stop it. How dare you? This is a classy podcast.
Actually, you know, I'm going to argue with you about this just because I think I'm on Thomas's side because I've almost, the only times I've ever really almost died on the road have always been because of semis. And
I agreed with him. You're not disagreeing with me. I think his point is true, but I was just saying that we shouldn't be focusing on more lanes. We should be focusing on getting more cars off the road.
But that's not going to eliminate cars. It's eliminating semis.
But, okay, 6 lanes to 1 million cars makes more sense. But 3 lanes to 500,000 cars makes equal amount of sense. So you're not getting all the cars off. But if you reduce the amount of cars on the road, it's safer.
That's true. But I still think it's a more valid complaint than Marty talking about the Padres. No offense, Marty.
All right. Well, then we have a coin to flip.
Heads, gripe of the week.
Heads is Marty. Tails is Thomas.
Thomas Israel. Heads, Marty. Tails, Thomas. Tails.
Tails, Thomas.
Thomas Israel, you got the gripe of the week, baby.
There you go, but leave those poor Palestinians alone.
Wait, what? What is that?
Thomas Israel.
Oh. Yeah, Jesus Christ. I know.
Thomas, why don't you put your hammer down? I'm sure you're building a settlement on the West Bank right now. Take your hammer down and collect your gripe of the week.
Thanks so much for listening, guys. We hope you had a good time and enjoyed yourselves. We appreciate you listening. Make sure you subscribe and write us a little review on the iTunes if you haven't done that already.
And give me the gripe of the week next week. Yeah. Chime in, please. Send us what's been bothering you. We'll read it. We can't promise we'll be nice about your gripe, but we'll say it.
All right. Bye, guys.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
What the fuck is the fucking matter? What are you stupid or what?
What is the fucking matter? What is the fucking matter? What is the fucking matter?
What is the fucking matter? What are you stupid or what?
I don't like it, 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 no sir, I don't like it.
No sir, I don't like it.
But I don't want your life.
No sir, I don't like it.
But I don't want your life.
No sir, I don't like it.
But I don't want your life.
No sir, I don't like it.
But I don't want your life.
No sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.